As of Tuesday morning, October the 1st, I read that at least 128 people had been confirmed dead across six states: Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, and my home state of Tennessee, from the Hurricane Helene coming onto the land. Well, we certainly want to keep the families in our prayers who have lost loved ones and those who have lost their homes, so many valuable possessions, keepsakes, and so forth. Well, as we respond to our fellow man, and we certainly want to not only pray for them, but get involved if we're able. Get money to congregations of the Lord's church in the areas that are devastated. Now, as we think about the situation, of course, when deadly tragedies happen, the age-old question comes to the forefront, and that is the atheist argument they put forth: why would a good and all-powerful God allow suffering and evil to exist? That's really their main argument. Well, we answer that atheistic argument simply by stating 1 John 4:8, for example: he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And since God is love, he gives us free will to choose to obey him or to disobey him. And we know when man disobeys God, there's going to be suffering and evil in the world. And notice 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That should be our choice of loving God back and allowing his love to dwell in us as we follow his only begotten Son's doctrine, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in the past, we have studied the causes of suffering, living in a sinful world, and we want to discuss that this morning. God working in the lives of his children. Of course, we need to pray for God's discipline. That may cause some suffering, but it's needful, is it not? And transition from this life to the next is going to cause suffering. Yes. Refusing to obey the gracious invitation of our Lord and Savior, that causes suffering. And there are some causes of suffering that we may not know the reason why. But remember what Job's wife advised him. If he retained his integrity, then he should curse God and die. That was her response to all the tragedies that befell Job and his wife. How many today have the same mindset as Job's wife and blame God for their suffering? Why not turn to God instead of blaming God for our suffering? That's right. And it shouldn't take tragedies to get us to turn to God. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, on the cruel cross of Calvary, that should draw everyone to God in humble obedience to the gospel of Christ. But you know, man in his ignorance and selfish desires, he may blame God for his evil circumstances and for his own failures. He may do that. But never forget this, all of us. God is holy, just, and perfect in every way, and we should never blame God. Well, this morning we want to study Why not turn to God instead of blaming God for our suffering? And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to Preparing for Eternity. And we mention PFE to keep that in our minds on a daily basis. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes. Of course, we're going to study the Word of God, and it's precious. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. And that's following John 4:24 in spirit and in truth as we worship God. Now, let me mention this. If you're interested in a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience, and we'll look forward to that opportunity. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, they're always welcome. So you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number is area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And the times of our service are given at the end of the program. Let's get back to our study this morning, as we're asking, why not turn to God instead of blaming God for our suffering, as so many do? Well, let's notice now Luke chapter 13, and we'll notice the first five verses here in Luke 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelleth in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So the point is here, God was not punishing those who died, but their death was allowed to happen. And so Jesus is giving us a lesson. Yes, today we can learn from this. If we do not repent, we also will perish in the fires of hell for eternity. It's one thing to die in an accident, but if one is unprepared, that's another, to be lost for eternity. So we can be killed any moment. We know not what is on the morrow or even the rest of this day. But if we're in the Lord, in His church, His body, the true church, the church of Christ, we have salvation. And when we die, we go into the realm of paradise, in the Hadean realm, to be with the Lord and wait for His second coming, of course. Now, why not turn to God instead of blaming God? And why not turn to God as soon as we learn the truth and obey it? Because we love God. We should. And that should be the main factor. But again, sometimes it takes a tragedy for people to turn to God. And that certainly should be the case instead of blaming God. So let's notice this. Man needs to realize that disobedience to God is sinful and brought evil and suffering into the world. Therefore, we should not ever blame God. And here are some of the results of man's fall from paradise, which Adam and Eve were in paradise here on the earth. But that was lost as sin entered into the world. And that caused suffering. Now, ignorance is a cause of suffering. All of us have been hurt by not knowing something was wrong. Drinking bad water, eating contaminated food are several examples of this type of suffering. A mother can take medication which hurts her and the unborn child without knowing it was harmful. Has that not happened? I know it has, and so many of, and probably many of you as well. Now, number two, accidents are a cause of suffering. In Luke 13:4, the tower in Siloam fell by accident, and 18 people were killed in the accident. Jesus used that example to show that these people were not being punished by God's judgment. Remember Job's friends? Yes, they thought he was being punished by God for his sins. All of us have been hurt by falling, bumping into something, and being cut by a sharp object. Automobile accidents can kill and injure people for life. Well, in Job's case, you see, he was not being punished by God, was he? No, it was Satan behind the scenes, and his friends were mistaken. Just as people are mistaken today when they think God has caused an accident. And so, instead of blaming God, let us realize that disobedience to God is sinful and it's brought evil and suffering into the world. But let's go on and look at another result of man's fall from paradise, which caused suffering. Natural disasters. Certainly, that's what we're seeing today with Hurricane Helene. Tornadoes. We know what they can do. How many lives have been lost? Well, what about earthquakes, tidal waves, wildfires, local floods, mudslides, droughts, diseases caused by insects? And, of course, we have come through COVID and other tragic, diseases spreading due to microorganisms. Yes, other natural causes, which can result in many deaths and suffering. We've all seen this. The universal flood in the days of Noah was not natural, but the after effects have no doubt been the cause of the natural disasters that we just mentioned. As you see in Genesis 7:11 through chapter 8:14, the waters covered the earth. It wasn't a local flood. It was a global flood. And think of the results after that. The forming of the Grand Canyon, for example. Lots of changes occurred. And men today who are promoting evolution, those men and women, I should add, they need to go back and look at the results of the global flood. Now, the three causes of suffering that we've just talked about, ignorance, accidents, and natural disasters, can be temporary and permanent. You know, being careful and selective, we can maybe lower the rate of accidents, certainly being a careful driver and those things we can understand, moving to a place where it's not susceptible to hurricanes and known to have tornadoes. You know, we can help our chances that way. But we're not guaranteed a life free of accidents. We're not free of diseases, are we? Or nor disaster. We're not guaranteed that. You see, we live in an environment in which we can freely accept or reject God's will. And that's what we need to think about this morning. Yes, We're all going to suffer in some way. And so we need to remember life on earth is brief and uncertain. And what are we going to do with the time that God has given us? Are we going to look for excuses not to obey God and even blame God when bad things happen? Or are we going to realize God created us in His own image? He loves every one of us, and He wants us all to be saved, to be with Him in eternity, and draw nigh unto God and turn away from a life of sin. That's what we should be all wanting to do with a strong desire, like the baby desires the mother's milk. Feed upon the Word of God. Remember, this life on earth is brief. James 4:14 bears that out, doesn't it? As a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then quickly vanisheth away. So, providing an ideal environment in which mankind can freely choose to obey or not to obey God means wrong choices cause immediate or future changes to specific conditions. In other words, disobeying God has consequences. And we should understand that. Look around and see as ungodliness becomes the norm. Yes, we should see that. Promoting transgenderism, putting this into the public schools. You have to call a boy by a female pronoun or vice versa. They're still a boy no matter what you call them. Still a girl. They were born that way, and that's not going to change. But man, see, is making this normal. That's just one example. How many others could we give? So you see the point here. Yes, we need to understand that we are living in an environment where man can disobey God, but there's going to be consequences. So instead of blaming or criticizing God, why not be a solution to overcoming the problems of suffering? After Gideon said, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" You see what he was saying? The same thing many people say today. If God's with us, then why did my child die? You see, that can be said today, just like Gideon was saying. But the answer is God challenged Gideon to deliver Israel from the Midianite oppression. Instead of questioning God like that, Gideon got to work as the leader. And you can study that in the book of Judges, but Judges 6:13 is where Gideon was not ready to lead at that point, questioning God. It was the Israelites that brought their suffering upon themselves. Now, when a child dies, that doesn't mean the parents had brought that upon themselves. I want to be quick to state that. But how do we react to suffering? Drawing nigh to God is the answer, instead of going away from God or blaming God, of course. You see, that baby is in paradise, and if you want to be with that child in heaven, you better draw an eye unto God. Wouldn't that be the way to look at it? Well, as we think about the causes of suffering, as we need to mention this, as we've gone over ignorance, accidents, natural disasters, but what about the sins of others? It causes suffering, doesn't it? Well, of course it does. We know that. We know that others have caused suffering on so many. Like, look at, well, Luke 13:3, we read a moment ago, didn't we? And thus the sins of Pilate caused innocent people to be killed. Pharaoh, look what he put his people through in Exodus. King Herod had little babies killed 2 years and under. What about Hitler and other evil leaders? We could just go on and on. Drunk drivers, abusers of children, persecutors of Christians. So that causes suffering. The sins of Bob Hawkins, here's number 5. The sins of Bob Hawkins causes suffering. My sins caused my parents to suffer and others. But the greatest suffering I have caused is that of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, my sins caused him to suffer on the cross. That's right. But what about your sins? Look at Isaiah 53 with me for a moment, 3 through 7. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before our shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Shouldn't that put us on our knees and thank God, our Father in heaven, for allowing his only begotten Son to go to the cross and suffer in our place? For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:18. So with the time left, here are the lessons to apply to our lives from the present tragedy. Yes, our hearts go out to the family members who have lost loved ones, those who have been injured, those who are homeless, jobless, or without power. We need to pray for all of those suffering. Yes, and again, do what we can physically, financially, and so forth. This also can remind us all just how important one precious soul is to God and should be to all of us. Certainly, John 3:16 comes to mind, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lesson number 2, how many people were involved in sinful activities and unprepared when the hurricane hit and the flooding and the disastrous effects? How many people throughout our great country are living in sin, and living in sin openly, despite God's warnings? How many will be unprepared to meet the Lord when he returns? You see, we need to be like Amos said, prepare to meet thy God, Amos 4:12. And study Matthew 25 about 5 virgins who were foolish, unprepared, and 5 who are wise. And certainly we want to be ready on that day the Lord comes, do we not? Yes. And we need to understand that we will stand before him in judgment and give an answer for the things that we have done in our body. 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, you'll want to read, study. We need to be prepared. Lesson number three, since we cannot be sure of our next breath, let alone a tomorrow, should we not be concerned about being prepared to die? Hebrews 9:27, and it's appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. Then it's too late. And let's be like Paul, who had kept the faith, finished his course. Yes, he had fought a good fight, kept the faith. Yes, and he was ready to meet the Lord, finished his course. 2 Timothy 4:6-8, you'll want to see that. And lesson number four, as we are presently moved to tears by the graphic camera shots of the victims and the devastations of their homes and other buildings, let's ask ourselves, do we allow our hearts to be pricked by the Word of God? And do we as Christians earnestly think about how Jesus suffered and died for us as we partake of the Lord's Supper? So, do not all of us want to see those in need to be comforted and helped, and of course to see them with help that they need? So, but what about our being prepared, wanting to teach a lost soul the gospel of Christ, or being prepared to defend the truth? Yes, Jude 3. Let us not only unite as Americans in sending relief aid, providing food, clothing, and shelter to our fellow Americans, but unite as God's people to submit to the authority of Christ and glorify God in all that we say and do. John 17:20-23, Acts 4:12, Colossians 3:17. Let us never blame God, but be involved in overcoming our suffering and helping others who are suffering. Oh, we should never think God will guard us from any and all suffering. Of course not. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, Jesus said, John 16:33. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. Why not turn to God instead of blaming God despite our suffering, as we have studied? And let's apply these lessons that we've learned and get out the good news. Yes, we're vitally in need of good news, and here it is, the gospel of Christ. So, as we close out our study this morning, are we prepared to meet God? Not if we have not obeyed the gospel, we're not. We stand ready to assist anyone in submitting to the will of God and obeying the gospel of Christ by hearing the truth, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, yes, John 8:24. And now we're ready to repent, changing our will and doing the will of our Heavenly Father, yes, Luke 13:3-5, we studied that at the beginning of the program. Once we've repented, got out of sin, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. Now we're ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism, where we contact the precious blood of Christ. As we come up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life, we're added to the body of Christ. And that's where we need to remain faithful. We thank you so much for listening today.